The sermon was based on our reading from Acts chapter 20, and there we learned about Paul's last words to the Ephesian pastors. I say last words because Paul told them he would never see them again, at least not in this lifetime. In fact, Paul told them that the Holy Spirit was leading him to journey to Jerusalem so he could preach the gospel to the Jews in that city. And Paul was willing to obey God and go there, even though God revealed to him that he would be persecuted for his witness and suffer many trials. Now, as Paul made his way to Jerusalem, he stopped over in a city named Caesarea and stayed there several days. While he was there, God used a prophet named Agabus to remind Paul that he would suffer persecution in Jerusalem. Listen to these words from Acts chapter 21. Agabus took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." Now Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, then comments on these words of Agabus by saying the following, "When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, 'The Lord's will be done.'" Now, if I were Paul, I would have been tempted to turn around and go in the opposite direction, away from Jerusalem. I mean, let's face it, none of us want to deliberately go someplace where we know we will suffer and be persecuted. In fact, I'm sure Paul was tempted to not go to Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit kept Paul's focus on Jesus, his Lord and Savior. Paul knew that Jesus suffered and died for him so that he could be forgiven of his many sins and also live forever as God's dearly loved child. Paul also knew that he was going to use his trials and suffering to give him opportunities to preach God's message of repentance and forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus. So even though Paul was not looking forward to the suffering that he would face, he knew that God would not forsake him, and he knew that not even death could take him away from the hope that he had in Christ. Now, if you continue to read in Acts chapter 21, you find out what happens when Paul eventually arrives in Jerusalem. Simply put, many Jews in Jerusalem had been given false information about Paul and what he had taught. And even though Paul did his very best to dispel these false rumors, some Jews became hostile to Paul and began a riot. Well, the Jewish riot eventually became so bad that the local Roman military commander sent troops to get things under control. The Roman troops rescued Paul from an angry Jewish mob that would have killed him eventually. And once Paul was under protection of the Roman troops, he then made a request of the Roman commander. Simply put, Paul asked the commander if he could address the Jewish crowds. And that leads us to Acts chapter 22, which is the basis for our message today. Now, what exactly does Paul say to the Jerusalem Jews? Well, I'm going to sum up his message to them in three parts. The first thing Paul says is that he reminds them that he used to be a hero among them. He tells them how he used to follow all the Jewish laws as a member of the Pharisees. He also reminds them that he used to persecute the Jews who had come to faith in Jesus. So he reminds them that at one time they had loved him. Now the second thing is he explains to them how his life has now changed. Paul gives them the details of his encounter with the risen and ascended Jesus. He mentioned how Jesus told him to go to Damascus. And once Paul was there, how God sent a Christian named Ananias to give him the following message. And here Luke records those words of Ananias to Paul. The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Now, after Paul tells the Jews about that first encounter with Jesus, and also the words spoken by Ananias, Paul then tells them a third thing. He tells them about the message that Jesus gave to him when he was later praying at the Jerusalem temple. Remember what Jesus said to Paul? He said, "Leave Jerusalem immediately because they will not accept your testimony about me. Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles." Now, up to this point, the Jews were listening quietly. They probably didn't believe what Paul was saying, but at least they were giving him a chance to talk. But when they heard that Jesus told Paul to do mission work among the Gentiles, they began another riot, and they demanded that Paul be put to death. Now, why were they so upset when Paul told them that Jesus had sent him to do mission work among the Gentiles? Well, simply put, many Jews back then were enslaved by the error that salvation was for those Jews who were worthy of salvation because they had supposedly obeyed all of the Jewish laws. So when they heard Paul teach that Gentiles could be saved through faith in Jesus, even though they had not kept all the Jewish laws, well, this was more than they could tolerate. Now, at this point in the sermon, I do need to make some clarifications for you if you're going to understand what God is teaching us through Paul. Simply put, Paul was not teaching that you could be saved even though you refused to repent of your sins and refused to submit to God's moral laws as revealed in the Ten Commandments, for example. Instead, Paul was stressing two things that the Jerusalem Jews could not accept. Here's the first thing they could not accept. Paul made a distinction between the moral laws and the ceremonial laws of the Jews. You see, the moral laws, as summed up in the Ten Commandments, they apply to all people of all times and places, whether you're Jew or Gentile, they apply to you. In fact, that insert in your bulletin, that folded half sheet, I encourage you to read through that later. That's a wonderful summary of how God's universal moral law applies to your lives today. However, the Jewish ceremonial laws, they were given only to the Jews and only for a temporary period of time. Simply put, the ceremonial laws were the various rituals that pointed ahead to Jesus and the salvation that he gives us. For instance, the Jewish food laws were meant to make the Jews stand out as a unique people. Why? Well, because God was going to use the Jews to bring the Savior of all nations into the world. In the same way, the ritual of circumcision reminded the Jews and others that the Savior of all nations would come through their family line. Another example is the ritual of Passover, with its focus on the blood of the Lamb. That also pointed ahead to Jesus and his sacrificial death for us. However, once Jesus finished his work of salvation, all these ceremonial laws were no longer required of the Jews. But unfortunately, many Jews would not accept this. You see, they not only insisted that all the ceremonial laws were still binding on the Jews, thus showing that they failed to see how they were fulfilled in Christ, but they also insisted that if the Gentiles were to be saved, they had to obey all the Jewish laws, including the Jewish ceremonial laws. Now that leads to the second thing Paul taught that the Jews could not accept. I mean, not only did Paul distinguish between the moral and the ceremonial laws and clearly show that the ceremonial laws had been fulfilled and that they had never been given to the Gentiles, but Paul also stressed that salvation was by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. In other words, the forgiveness and eternal life that God gives us in Christ is an undeserved gift and cannot be earned by us sinners in any way. But sadly, many Jews also failed to understand this. You see, the Jews thought that they could be worthy of God's mercy by doing their best to obey God's commandments. So as long as their good deeds outweighed their bad deeds, as long as they obeyed God more than they disobeyed Him, then God owed them mercy and would supposedly overlook their sins. In other words, they thought that they had earned their salvation by their faithful observation of God's moral and ceremonial laws. But Paul corrected their error by teaching the truth. First, Paul made it clear that none of God's laws were ever meant to be a way for us to earn our salvation. For example, the purpose of the ceremonial laws were to be pictures of Jesus and all that He would do to save us. And as for the moral law, the Ten Commandments, well, they were actually meant to be a guide for our lives, showing us the evil that we should avoid and the good that we should do. However, because we are sinners, and because we fail to obey the moral law perfectly, the moral law ends up exposing our sin and showing us that we deserve God's wrath. For example, listen to what Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 3. He says, "No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." And then later on in Romans chapter 7, he says, "In order that sin might be recognized as sin, the law produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandments, sin might become utterly sinful." And finally, in another letter Paul wrote, Galatians, he writes these words, "All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." And so, even though God wants us to obey the Ten Commandments, they were never meant to be a way to earn salvation, because we can't. But that's where the Jews were confused. They thought God had given the law so that through our obedience of the law, we could make ourselves worthy of His mercy. Now, I'm not suggesting that the Jews thought that any of them had actually kept the law perfectly. I mean, even the self-righteous Pharisees were willing to admit that they had not kept the law perfectly. However, their error was the idea that they could atone for their sins by their obedience. Once again, here's how they thought. As long as my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, then I'm in and God owes me forgiveness. Sadly, many people in our world today think that way. Rather than trusting in Christ alone for salvation, they trust in their own good works. Even people who attend church can fall into that error. Hey, as long as I go to church a certain amount of Sundays through the year, God will be impressed with me and ignore the sins that I like to do. That's unbelief, my friends. That's not what it means to be a Christian. In fact, listen to this word of God from James chapter 2. It says, "Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." In other words, one sin deserves God's eternal wrath. And no amount of our supposedly good works can take away the guilt of even one sin. Therefore, our only hope is Jesus and everything that He has done to save us. But sadly, many Jews in Paul's day would not accept this. So when Paul taught that Gentiles could be saved through faith in Jesus, even though they did not observe the Jewish ceremonial laws, well, that was more than the Jews could stand. In fact, some of them became so angry at Paul that they wanted him to be put to death. Now, with that understood, let's get back to our reading for today. When the Jews began to riot and demand Paul's death, the Roman commander stood. He came in again, and he took Paul to the barracks for protection. Now, you have to realize, this Roman commander, he was not a Jew, nor was he a Christian. And so he didn't have a clue what the fuss was all about. But the Roman commander did want to understand why the Jews were so angry with Paul. So what does he do? The Roman commander arranges for Paul to meet with the Jewish Sanhedrin, which was an official council of religious Jewish leaders. Now, next Sunday, we're going to hear about Paul's witness to the Jewish Sanhedrin. But at this point, regarding today's reading, I want you to see how all these facts in Acts apply to our lives today. And I'm going to mention three ways that our reading relates to our lives today. First of all, Paul is a wonderful example for us if we ever end up in a situation where we must suffer for our faithful witness to Jesus. I mean, even though Paul knew that his gospel witness would be rejected by many in Jerusalem, he trusted God and he gave a faithful witness to the Jews in that city. You know, sometimes God might put us in a situation where we need to stand up for the truth. We might be scared to do this because we know that some people will reject what we say and might make trouble for us. But when people in this world begin to ignore us or mock us or even persecute us because of our witness for Jesus, we can know, as Paul did, that we are secure in God's hands. Our sins are forgiven, and we have the hope of eternal life even in the face of death. The second thing we learn from our reading is that God is a merciful God. I mean, think about it. Even though Paul had been a self-righteous Pharisee, and even though he was guilty of persecuting Christians, God still had mercy on him. Even though Paul deserved to spend eternity in hell, he received forgiveness of all his sins through faith in Jesus, and he was given the privilege of being Jesus' apostle. In the same way, we can be confident that our many sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus. That means it doesn't matter who you are or how many horrible things you may have done. You can come before God's throne in repentance, trusting in Jesus, knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you're holy in God's sight because of Christ and all that He has done for you. Just as Paul's life was changed through faith in Jesus, your life has been changed through faith in Jesus. And in response to Christ's love, you now get to live your lives to God's glory, just like Paul did. Finally, a third thing we learned from our reading today is that Jesus wants all people to be saved through faith in Him. That's why Jesus said the following to Paul. He said, "I will send you far away to the Gentiles." Jesus sent Paul to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations. You know, this reminds me of what the resurrected Jesus said to his disciples before his ascension. In Luke chapter 24, we read these words of Jesus. "This is what is written: but Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You know, one thing I like about reading through the book of Acts and preaching this sermon series in the book of Acts is that we see how God used these ordinary people, these first Christians, to bring his gospel to all nations so that sinners could repent and trust in Jesus for salvation. In fact, we are here today trusting in Jesus because that mission continued throughout history and was handed on from generation to generation, so that now we are here rejoicing in Jesus and all that he has done for us. And as you've heard me say before on many other occasions, just as God's mission was active and alive back then, God's merciful mission continues through us today. We Christians get to be witnesses for Jesus in our generation. God will use us not only to build up our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to reach out to those who have been misled by error, but he will especially use us where and when he pleases to speak the good news to those who do not yet know about Jesus, their Lord and Savior. That's exciting, to know just how God used others to bring his good news to us. He will continue to use us to bring his good news to others. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.